Well, good morning, church. Grace and peace to you in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. My name is Pastor Jim. I get to serve Jesus here. It's good to be here. I'm sorry about my voice. I don't know what's going on. It's fading away. Maybe that's good news. Short sermon. I shouldn't yell at Kristen so much. I shouldn't yell at the kids all the time. It could be that all that nice new growth is doing this to me. I don't know. I'm highly allergic to everything on planet Earth. I took the little test where they scratch your back, and just my whole back lit up like a Christmas tree of all the things that I'm allergic to. Even horses, but not cows. Figure that out. But it is good to be with you. Today is the last Sunday of ordinary time, which means that next week, beginning this week with Ash Wednesday and a great service that'll be at the Lutheran Church this week at 7 o'clock, and then we begin this season of 40 days of Lent, which is a fancy word for the season leading up to Easter. And many of you are preparing for giving things up for Lent. You might give up social media for Lent. You might give up chocolate for Lent. You might give up all sorts of things that is between you and God. But I hope the last month of our time together has... And there's Judy. I just saw Judy back there. But the last month of sermons, the last month of our preparations have reminded us that we don't do those things to make ourselves feel better or look better or have a higher standing with God or with our community. We do those things simply to honor God. And so it's not something that you use to flaunt. Hey, look at me. I gave up chocolate for 40 days. I gave up social media for 40 days. Do that in secret, knowing that the one who needs to know, the one who wants to know, will know what you've given up and how you're doing that or what you've taken on, whatever it is that God leads you to grow in a deeper relationship with Him. That's what this season is all about. And of course, we also have our time for confirmation for people, young people looking to join the church. There's a season of preparation for that. That's Sundays in Lent leading up to Easter. And we'll have our confirmation class confirmed and join a church on Easter morning. So just a great time in the life of the church. Looking forward to what God has in store for us in the weeks ahead. So let's go to Scripture. Even though this is the last Sunday of ordinary time, the Sunday before Lent is traditionally Transfiguration Sunday. And Transfiguration was a moment where after a time of preparation of 6 days, Jesus takes his disciples, three of them, Peter, James, and John, the big three, up to the top of the mountain. And a cloud covers the mountain, and Jesus reveals himself to these disciples, that he is more than just man, but he is also God walking in human flesh. And his clothes, as they say, are brighter than bright. You couldn't bleach them and get them as bright as his clothes. In fact, they're glowing. And a voice from heaven comes down and says, "This is my son. Listen to him." And Peter goes off and says, "Oh, we're going to make some tents. We're going to stay here forever on the mountaintop." And as soon as that vision is revealed to them, it's gone. And Jesus returns to comfort them and say that let get up and let's go back and face the world anew. And so before that takes place, in fact, almost 2,000 years before that takes place, a similar event happens in the life of the Israelite people as they are receiving the law of God at this mountain called Sinai. And as they're there, after a period of preparation, Moses and some of the leaders of the church encounter a vision of God, a vision of God. And then they go further up, Moses and Joshua, and the cloud rests upon the mountain. And then Moses goes up to receive the law of God. And here's that story found in Exodus today. The Lord said to Moses, come up to me on the mountain and stay here, and I will give you the tablets of stone with the law and the commandments I have written for their instruction. Then Moses set out with Joshua and his aide, and Moses went up to the mountain of God. Next, he said to the elders, wait here for us until we come back to you. Aaron and Hur are with you, and anyone involved in a dispute can go with them. When Moses went up on the mountain, the cloud covered it, and the glory of the Lord settled on Mount Sinai. For 6 days the cloud covered the mountain, and on the seventh day the Lord called to Moses from the cloud. To the Israelites, the glory of the Lord looked like a consuming fire on the mountain. Then Moses entered the cloud. As he went up the mountain, and he stayed on the mountain 40 days and 40 nights. Jesus is the word of God. Thanks be to God. Pray with me, friends. Lord, open our hearts and minds by the power of your Holy Spirit. Reveal to us your glory through the words today. May I decrease that you increase in all that's said and done here. It's your time, God, and yours alone. In Jesus' name, amen. What was your first experience of God? Do you remember your first true experience of God? For many of us, that might have happened so long ago that we don't remember when we first understood that there is a God in the universe. There is a God who made all things. And for some people, that's all the further they get. That they've experienced a moment where, yeah, I'm really small and insignificant. The universe is really big. And somebody or something put this all together. And you don't have to look too far to understand that you are fearfully and wonderfully made. Just look in the mirror. You realize the process of human history that has led to you. The struggles that your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents and all your ancestors, all the way back to the beginning. All of that building up to the moment of you. That's a really good place to be. And to know that the one who created the universe takes delight in you, takes delight in me, takes delight in the little children who were here. The creator of the entire universe, God, as we've come to know this one. And then, for those of us who are in Christ, we come to know that one who created the whole universe, that one who created all of this, has made his presence known in the person of Jesus, all of cosmic power of the universe in this one person, this one man, who then gives his life so that we might have life and have it more abundantly. Wow, that should make your brain go boom as you understand the one who created the universe was the one who walked upon the earth with those disciples and rose from the dead, though he was crucified, deader than dead. Evidence was available to all who walked past that hill on that day. This one who is Jesus is not just man, but is God in human flesh. Is there a moment in your life where the reality of God's power hit you in a moment that was so real that it transformed your life? For many of us, those moments take place in those teenage years. That's why they're so important. That's why it's so important to reach your children and to bring them up in the church so that when those years of God oftentimes working in a powerful, miraculous way hit, that they understand what in the world's going on. That moment doesn't pass us by. Take a look at the picture up here. Can you see what that is? It's kind of hard. The lights are really bright. That is the cross at Jumonville. And the cross at Jumonville is a symbol up on that hill of God's great work being done in the lives of countless young people who then grow up and become adults with their lives transformed because they encountered God in a mountaintop experience. That's a transformative moment. That's a powerful place. When we took care of my mom's ashes, we put them up there by that cross. Because that moment, that place is holy ground for my family. That camp at Jumonville changed our lives. It was a powerful moment. There are powerful moments that take place that transform us, that we then have to figure out, what is it that God wants to do with me? When I need to reconnect, when I feel separated from God, and it happens often, when my life feels out of control, you've met my children, and you know the work that I do here at the church. I need sometimes to get away for a while. And oftentimes, in fact, most times, the place that I go to do that is here, at that mountaintop at Jumonville. It helps me to focus, helps me to realize my place in the world, helps me to understand that God actually has a plan for me, has a plan for this church, has a plan for our lives. I feel the power of God connecting me through that cross, through that time up there. And if you have ever sent a child to one of our camps, maybe to Jumonville, maybe to Wesley Woods, maybe to Camp Allegheny, there are moments there where the folks there will help young people to find that connection. That's why we, as this church, Scalp Level Trinity, will pay completely all the cost for someone who's in that age group who wants to go to camp. Because we believe that God can change lives in those places. It's so important. Find a connection to God. The trouble is, even when you have an idea that there is a great God in the universe, and this God loves you, this God cares for you, this God knows your name, it can be hard to describe that moment. Sometimes it's because the emotions are so heightened. Sometimes it's because the power of that moment is so much that it's hard to put it into words. And so whenever I ask at the beginning, is there a moment in your life where you experienced God, the full reality of God, that maybe you don't even have the words to explain what that moment was? In fact, the writers of Scripture oftentimes have trouble explaining what that moment was. They will use words like, it was something like a bright light. Or it was the I saw the Lord and I saw the face. It was something like shimmering jasmine that was so bright I couldn't even gaze upon the presence. Something like. And for many of us, an encounter at this cross is something like. It's something like. We can't quite put our finger on it. Moses ascends the mountaintop. Jesus ascends the mountaintop. The cloud covers it. And God calls to Moses. God calls to Jesus. This is my son. God calls to those who are gathered there. Listen to him. What is this strange scene? It's like something out of a movie. It's like something out of a dream. Something like. We can't quite put our finger on it. Maybe an encounter with God for you was something like a visit to the cross. It was something like a dream. It was something like a moment where you felt like you were the only person in the world and God called. Do you feel moments in your life where you enter the presence of holiness? When you walk into this church, do you feel the presence of the Holy Spirit here? When you enter sacred ground, maybe a cemetery, maybe could be anything, could be a mountaintop, where you feel close to God. Do you have the words to describe that awesome power, the glory of the Lord that changes the face of Jesus so that they see him as he truly is? Do you see Jesus as he truly is? What is this scene that we are experiencing the power of God? Have you ever felt your life out of control? Not because of problems, but because of something more powerful than you is affecting you. For instance, several years ago, I was sitting in the office of Eric Park, my district superintendent in the Washington district, and we were having our one-on-one, and we were sitting at a table across from each other, and then rumble, 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 as if a truck had driven past the office. But we knew it was not a truck driving past the office. It was an earthquake. Maybe you remember about 2012 or so, and a little earthquake. Not very big of an earthquake, but enough to get our attention because we were in prayer at that moment. And as we were concluding the prayer, the earth shook, and we went, it's like, wow. And so we turned to the secretary, and we said, did you feel that? And she said, yes, we did. Kristen, 40 miles away in Eldersville. There's a 40 miles is not that far. Is it 18? I don't know. It's a long time ago and a long place. But she felt it sitting at home, far away from that. In fact, many people in the region felt that earthquake. Out of your control, power. We can experience that even in our own lives. Take a look at this. When one of those things rolls through your town, do you feel it? You feel the power of that thing? Ever stand close to a train? Can you all see the pictures? Do I need to turn these lights off? Y'all good? Because I got more. Because I got no voice, and I got to rely on pictures. The power of this thing is so powerful that you can feel it far away. And when one of these suckers crashed in the middle of town, you could have been all the way in the side of town, and you realize something went wrong. And that's just man-made power. We can make even more powerful things. Have a look. Something more powerful. Boom! That is the height of mankind's power. We can make two tiny little atoms crash together in such a way that it causes an explosion of that kind of magnitude. When one of those things goes off, guess what? You're going to feel it. You'll experience the power. In fact, the men who were some of the early people who watched these things, they didn't realize what they had on their hands. So they were like sitting there watching. Okay, it's time to watch the bomb go off. And when that thing went off, they described it as this. I closed my eyes, and I could still see clear as day. And I put my hands up to my face, said one of the men who watched that, and I could see the bones inside my hands through my closed eyelids. That's the power of just one, one of these things. That's human power. Anybody recognize this mountain? Show the mountain. Do you know what that mountain is? Is it Sinai? Anybody know what it is? Let's show the next picture. This is the same mountain. What is it? Mount St. Helens. Show the next picture. That's the only picture they have because everything else was destroyed. Mount St. Helens. When that thing exploded, it was the force of 1,600 of those atom bombs that we had. Remember you could see your bones through your eyelids? That, the power of nature, is more powerful than by a magnitude, exponentially, than the most powerful thing that we can create as human beings. But then take a look at this. Yeah, that kind of looks like Matt Brubaker. What's the next picture? Hey. What's next? Oh, come on! Matt, what are you doing? No. We're going to need that. We're going to need that thing, the sun, because as big as that explosion at Mount St. Helens, as big as the explosion of a nuclear bomb, all of our nuclear bombs put together, all of the energy that mankind has ever produced put together, the sun can create in a single second. In fact, all the energy that we have used as human beings has all come from the sun. Every last bit of energy that we use comes to us because the sun has made that energy at some point in our past. Look at this next picture. You can't even see it up there. Somewhere up there is a tiny little dot. There it is. You know what that dot is? That's Mercury. That's an entire planet. Oh, thanks for the arrow there. That little dot is a planet compared to the size of the sun. In fact, 99.9% of everything in our solar system is in that big ball of heat and light and energy up there. It's huge. Our power as mankind is insignificant compared to that big ball of gas up there. Don't stare at it for too long, because maybe you won't see your bones through your fingers when you look at it, but if you stare at the sun long enough, you will go blind. It has that kind of power, the power to shine even at night, even when there's no moon. Even the reflected light of the sun is enough that you can still see. All of that's brought to you by the power of the sun. And that's insignificant. Look at this. There are 100 billion stars in our own galaxy, the Milky Way. So you have the power of the sun is insignificant compared to the power of an entire galaxy. It would take 100,000 light years to go from one end to the other. It's massive. It's huge. We can't go the speed of light. It would take us millions of years to go from one end to the other. All that power. Power of mankind, power of the universe, all of that insignificant compared to the power found in one man. The power of Jesus Christ makes all of that universal power look insignificant, because in this man Jesus Christ, we meet not something like God, but we meet God in human flesh. For Peter, for James, for John, this was an experience of the reality of God. So powerful, and yet so humble. Have a look at this next picture. It's really hard to see this one. This was a picture from inside the Capitol Rotunda at the viewing for President George H.W. Bush when he passed away. I'm in that crowd somewhere. I'm somewhere in there. I can see me. I'm below the camera well. I'm in there. I can tell you, walking into that place, I felt the power. I'll never forget this moment because it was so powerful and significant to walk into the Capitol building, to walk up the stairs into that rotunda, to look up and see the like history right there presented for me. And a man who had the power of all of our government, the power to wage war, the power to do all sorts of things, raise and armies. And there he was, just a man. Just a man who lived a life, and a man who at the end of that life died. All that power, and you can't keep it. All that power, and you can do nothing with it when God says it's time. Unfortunately, for many of us, the moment when we realize the power, the majesty, the glory of God comes to us too late to do anything about it. All that power found in one man, in Jesus Christ. Is there a moment when God's glory became real to you? God loves you, and so do I. Let's sing together.